Incognito Mel. I am sitting here, and I'm joined by my guest host, Wireless Mike.
Thank you. And we are joined today with Chairman of the NTSB, Debbie Hirschman. Thank you for coming in today. Now, you have some things that you've been working on with EAA with a survey, I hear.
Yes, we actually are working with EAA, and we really appreciate the response that we've gotten and the cooperation from EAA, because we are interested in finding out what causes accidents with amateur-built aircraft. Unfortunately, we're seeing a lot of accidents early in the life of these amateur-built aircraft. 40% of the accidents occur in the first 100 hours of operation. We're trying to understand what causes that. We've partnered with EAA, and they're helping us get a survey out. And in the first week, we've gotten over 4,000 responses. I know.
We had Vern Ellingstadt in here said that you got up to 20%, which is a phenomenal response, actually.
We are thrilled, and it's great. We've got a lot of people stopping by the booth, and what we really want to do is hear from the people who are building their own aircraft and understand what's going on so we can identify some potential solutions to prevent accidents.
So just to reiterate very quickly, the data collection is still open. So if anybody wants to come and be a part of that, they can come on over and still join in the survey.
Absolutely. The survey's online, and EAA is hosting the survey for us, and all of the information is going to be de-identified before it comes to us, and so it's great.
Now, with this survey, are you I'm sure you haven't seen any results out of this one, but I'm sure in other accident investigations you've looked at accidents. Are you finding that they're more of a problem with the training aspect of it, where somebody's not properly trained in that airplane, or is it more of a problem where the airplane wasn't built correctly?
Well, I think you have to look accident by accident, and that's exactly why we're engaging in the survey. We know that experimental aircraft represent about 10% of the aircraft out there and 4% of the hours, but they're representing over 20% of the fatal accidents. And so what we really want to do is dig down and understand what's happening and devise some strategies to help mitigate the accidents.
Well, the gentleman we had in here before was talking about collecting experiential data before they become incidents and accidents. So that's kind of a similar approach to what you're doing with the survey.
It is. The survey is going to give us a lot of rich information about what people know about the aircraft as far as how much time they're spending, how much information they're getting in support when they're building it, the problems that they might be having, the training that they get when they go out. And I think it's especially a challenge for the single-seat operations. How do you get good training in some of these new aircraft that are being built?
Now, this is your first time to AirVenture, I hear. How are you enjoying it so far?
It was amazing. I was able to fly in with my colleague, Member Wainer, in his Bonanza yesterday afternoon. It was a very busy
time. Afternoon. That was kind of not the best weather to try and come in.
It wasn't, and it was quite crowded when we got in because I think everybody was trying to get in. And we landed on the pink dot, and it was really a thrill to see all of these aircraft. I think pretty much anything that you can imagine. I grew up as an Air Force brat, and we just had some F-16s flying, and I'm used to hearing that jet noise in the background, so it's a thrill to be here and a thrill to meet all of these enthusiastic pilots.
It can't be described. It has to be experienced.
You're absolutely right about that. A lot of people told me, you won't believe Oshkosh, but once I got here, I said, oh my gosh, I really can't believe it. This is an amazing, amazing gathering. Just seeing the tents and the RVs and, you know, it's really impressive.
Now, do you do any flying yourself?
I was just going to ask that question. Yep.
Well, I don't fly anymore. I always say my biggest contribution to aviation safety is not flying right now.
but you have at one point.
I did. I soloed before I got my driver's license. And, of course, now I wish I had kept up with it. And
you still can.
And seeing all of these airplanes. And I just had an opportunity to see the Sonics facility and tour the plant, and also meet with some of the folks who are working there and people who are touring, and to see how excited people are about building their own aircraft. It's really interesting. I've got three sons, and let me tell you, I think they'd go crazy if they came here.
You never lose those hours, so you can always go back and pick that up. But what brought you to the NTSB?
I worked on transportation legislation for many years on the Hill, on the House, and the Senate side. And unfortunately, my first interactions with the NTSB were when they were investigating accidents that we were looking at and trying to write legislation on the surface side with rail and highways, and also on the aviation side to help make things safer.
Now, have you had any accomplishments? I know the NTSB can't write legislation. They can only make recommendations. Have you had any legislative accomplishments where you've gotten them to enact some legislation that you guys have been pushing for lately?
That's a great question. You know, the good news is for the NTSB, even though we've been around for over 40 years and we've issued over 13,000 recommendations in our history, over 80% of them have been adopted in a favorable way, been accepted by the public, the industry, by the regulators. And so we work very hard to explain our recommendations so that they will be accepted. There's a number of bills that have actually been passed to look at safety in many modes of transportation, and aviation is one of them. We had some pilot training issues that came out after the Colgan accident in the commercial side, and those issues were addressed last year.
And I imagine having been on the legislative side first, how does that help you then on this side of it, I guess, structure your recommendations a little bit with more knowledge?
Well, it's great to be on different sides because you understand what people need. And so I think really we have, between the legislative branch and the regulatory side with the FAA and others, we have a good understanding of what needs to happen. And it does help to know what they're looking for, how you need to present information. We have great reports and great investigators, and we issue pages of 150 pages of a report. It's really important to be able to distill that into a message that the public and that members of Congress can understand. And so I think that that's certainly one thing that helps me, is to get to the 10,000 foot level rather than down into the details.
Now, with the pilot training, what were you actually able to, what rules got passed that you guys were pushing for?
One of the things that we were very concerned about on the commercial side is we saw a lot of upsets that involve commercial pilots, and that they really weren't prepared for it. They would get themselves into a situation where they'd be close to a stall, or they'd get into a stall and the stick shaker would activate and they would not respond properly. We thought it was really important.
That was the Colgan accident.
That was in Colgan, but we've also seen it in other accidents as well. And so we made some recommendations in those areas. Also, with respect to looking at pilot records, employment records, pre-employment records, to make sure that all flight test failures, practical test failures were reported, and that they had full information, and that's something that we hadn't seen. And so, you know, these are areas in the commercial side, and I know we have a lot of folks who are flying their own airplanes, but also work in the commercial side of the industry here, too. It's important, I think, for them to have good information and to have good training. And for the NTSB, it's not necessarily about the hours of training that you get. It's about the quality of training you get and making sure that training is appropriate for all circumstances.
Well, now on the commercial side, and of course in the military, which you don't do, but that training regime is very structured. But general aviation, you've got people coming from a variety of backgrounds, a variety of instructors. You've got Part 61, you've got 141. Do you see anything in those aspects that that needs a particular focus in terms of training, and maybe trying to, I wouldn't say standardize, because we do have the training standards, but that that contributes more to accidents and incidents and safety issues?
Well, I think it won't surprise you to know that one of the biggest concerns that we have is pilots who get into conditions that they're not prepared for. Whether it's inadvertent flight into IMC or scud running, really getting into instrument conditions and not being ready for that. And we see in many cases in general aviation that people do get themselves into instrument conditions and then really have problems getting out. That's one thing that's really important. Another thing is we've got a lot of technology out there in the new cockpits. And it's really critical for people to understand the technology, understand the failure modes, and understand how to use it. And so you've got a lot of capability in the cockpit, but you've got to be able to use it all effectively and fly the airplane.
Well, and not
what
get distracted.
What to do when that technology doesn't quite work right for you and you have to step in again and take over those roles. So
absolutely.
We get very reliant on technology to do the job for us until it doesn't.
That is a huge lesson learned. And on the commercial side, we've for many years been looking at over-reliance on automation and on the equipment, and understanding that that too is something that we need to be cautious about. And there's a lot of technology that's coming, you know, into aircrafts, whether they're amateur-built aircrafts or whether they're, you know, hot off the production line. There's a lot of technology. And technology, whether it's your iPad, just bringing it into the cockpit with you, there's a lot going on. People have to know how to use it. And if it doesn't work, know what the fallback plan is.
And also, you were talking about the amateur study, and there being a lot of accidents involving that. I know you're collecting the data, so you know more about it, but do you have some ideas of what you already think might be some factors involved in why there's such a high safety concern with that?
I think there's a lot of issues. Certainly the areas that we're going to be looking at have to do with actually the construction of the aircraft, and also how the flight test is being done, how you ensure that the aircraft is airworthy, and also how you ensure that the pilot's ready to fly the aircraft, what kind of training you get, how you're trained, who trains you, where do you get your practical experience before you get into your brand new plane that you've built and try to give it its first flight test. And so there's a lot of challenges, and it's all different. And I think that's the amazing
thing. There's a lot
thing.
Of custom behaviors.
Yes. Yeah. It's a very interesting and growing area, and there's a lot of options for pilots and people who want to build their own aircraft. And I think we need to understand that. We want to see that part of the industry. We want to see it flourish. This is something where we have great pilots who are enthusiastic aviators. We want to see that flourish safely.
Just a question on that is, have you seen, there's a lot of experimental aircraft that are very simple aircraft, and there's very complex airplanes that you can build. Are you seeing any data saying that it's more in the complex area of these aircraft or the simple, or is it just across all the spectrums?
I think that's what we're really hoping to learn by gathering some of the data, and also by taking on some accidents in the coming year to look very closely at what some of these factors might be. We want to understand that, and we're looking to the industry to really help us gain some of that knowledge, and through our investigations to pass that knowledge back to the flying community.
Well, and also you mentioned with the general aviation, a lot of problems with IMC and IFR flights, which is very dependent on the controllers as well. So what's the research on that side of things, as well as the pilots? Do you look into that sort of investigative avenue?
Sure. A few years ago, we did a great study on GA aircraft that got into weather accidents, got into IMC. And we looked at communication, about good communication. You know, it really starts before you even get into the cockpit. Make sure you do a good pre-flight, and you're planning, and you're looking at what's coming, and that you're getting good briefings, or you're using the resources that you have. Then when you get in the cockpit, make sure there's good communication that's going on. And so if you don't have the technology in the cockpit to help you get around the weather or know where you need to go, make sure you're talking to the controllers. We've made recommendations in the past years about controllers' responsibility in providing that information to pilots and not letting them get, whether they're going VFR, IFR, making sure that people have good information, good situational awareness. That's always important.
Well, unfortunately, here we're running out of time. I know I have a ton more questions. I'm assumed that some people on the grounds here might have questions. And if somebody wanted to get more information about the NTSB, where can they go on the website, and where can they go on the grounds here?
NTSB can be found on the web at www.ntsb.gov, and we have a booth over in the Federal Pavilion, and we have a number of investigators who would love to talk to you. I'll be here until tomorrow, and I look forward to seeing you at Oshkosh.
And the survey is available on EAA's website as well as your website, correct?
Yes, the survey is available from EAA, and there's information on our website that will send you to EAA to take the survey.
Well, thank you very much for being with us.
I'm Wireless Mike.
And Magneto Mel.
And we've been talking with Chairman of the NTSB, Debbie Hirschman.